Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
The opposite of faith is not fear. It is sight. It is what we see.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha. Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey, angels. Make sure to head over to my website, AishaChristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everyone feeling? Firstly, I'm going to address a little something, a little elephant in the room. So I did not realize that I ruffled so many feathers. In my last week's podcast reels, I was posting a podcast reel from my Jezebel episode. And it never ceases to amaze me how people feel inclined to speak on things that they have really no business speaking on because they have nothing to do with it, right? Like, I'm speaking based off of biblical principle, speaking to other believers about what we believe. And, you know, dressing still fashionable and cute. Listen, I am still learning and I'm on this journey with you guys, but there are some things that I don't think really should be up for debate. And one, that's respect. And two, I don't necessarily find anything wrong in saying, hey, don't wear pasties to the beach. But apparently that was really just too much for some people and they really did not handle that well. But I don't mind. It doesn't really bother me because I feel like, you know, it got a bit intense. I did turn off my post notifications, not because people were coming at me so much. There were select individuals that did, but I really laugh at this stuff because one thing that no one will ever get out of me is like really a response. The only time that I'm going to respond is if I feel like, one, if I genuinely feel in my spirit too, or if I feel like it was funny, like what you said was good. So I'm going to be like, I'm going to laugh at it. Like, I'm not a sore loser. I'm going to laugh. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like that was very interesting because when I tell you I was so shocked, I had no idea that me saying that was going to be offensive in any way because I really was not trying to. And out of all the things that come out of my mouth, that was like one of the least controversial things I've ever said. It's interesting because on my channel, my first channel that I have, well, this channel actually that I have where I post my podcast, I was talking about for the longest time, dating providers, all these different things. And people would always say, what you're saying should not be for everyone. Or they would say, okay, I get what you're saying, but you should change your delivery. And let me tell you something, 5 years into this game, you cannot be everything to everyone. People will always find fault in the things that you were saying. Now that I'm speaking from a faith-based perspective, I know that that within itself, when it comes to politics, when it comes to religion, those are very, very hot topics. But I believe what I believe, and it is what it is, and I'm going to stand 10 toes down on it, and it is what it is. And if there's ever a time where I'm wrong about something or whatever, then and the Holy Spirit convicts me about something, I will always apologize. But I ain't apologizing for that because I meant what I said and it is what it is. So yeah, I just will not understand. The post was for believers and I had one girl comment in literally in her bio, it said that she was a Satanist. It said all hail Satan in her bio. And she found herself on my Instagram. She literally, How did I even get in your algorithm? I'm a Christian. This is a Christian podcast. How did this make its way over to you? And, you know, it was just like, I could easily go to someone's Instagram that's practicing tarot and say, you're going to hell for this. This is divination. I'm not doing that. That's not my ministry. I'm not sitting here going on other people's pages, seeing things that I don't like and commenting on the fact that I dislike it. So it's very astonishing to me that people feel the need to do this. But hey, this type of discourse, I do not mind because it's not like an assassination of my character or anything. So it is what it is. It's just people like coming for my appearance or even arguing amongst themselves in the comment section. But I turned off my post notifications because people would go back and forth at each other on the comment section. And it was like a bit much for me. Anyways, I digress. Let's get on into today's topic, because one thing you got to do is you really got to trust in the Lord. Okay, especially when it comes to being on social media. And that's why I'm talking about this topic today. You have to trust, okay, that God is going to have your back. And, you know, I look at people even like Candace Owens, someone that is, you know, arguably someone that is controversial. And a lot of people dislike her, but also she has a huge following of people that actually really do like her, including myself. And it's like you get burned at the stake if you mention that you like certain people, because people like to nitpick at every little thing. But we're not always going to agree with what everyone says 100% of the time. And that's not lost on me. And you are allowed to disagree. I'm not saying don't disagree with anything I ever say, but it's like out of all things, I certainly didn't think that saying we're Pacey's at the beach would be that big of a hot take, but it was. Anyways, I've already spent too much on this. Trust. Let's get into it. So as we know, trusting in God can be very, very challenging, right? Especially because life is going to throw you curveballs. And really, trust is what would be considered a cornerstone of our faith. And this is why I want to discuss this today, because I want to explore what it truly means to trust God and examine this through some biblical passages. So let's start by looking at Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I love this scripture. Okay. And in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So I get it, right? You know, sometimes you pray on something and you fast and you feel like, all right, God, I still don't feel like I have an answer, but we still have to trust in spite of, because at the end of the day, when it comes to faith, it is what? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Pastor Jerry Flower said this quote that I've repeated so many times, where he literally said that the opposite of faith is not fear, it is sight. It is what we see, okay, that gets in our way and affects how we live out our faith. It is what we see that can really get us into trouble sometimes. And we feel like, okay, God, you're not moving at all. And that's why I love that song that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. I love that song because it is exactly that. It is true. Even when we don't see it, God is still good. He's still working. He's still faithful. See, the thing about God, one of the scriptures or the foundational beliefs that I love about knowing about God and his character is he never changes. He is literally the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his word is reliable. Unlike the enemy, right? He's constantly changing. He's constantly lying. He is constantly creating counterfeits. He's constantly becoming a chameleon so he can try and deceive, okay? Kill, steal, destroy, and devour. So this verse right there in Proverbs, it's highlighting the importance of relying on God rather than our own wisdom. God, you're moving too slow. So let me figure this situation out myself. God, I feel like I've been waiting so long for marriage, so I'm just going to settle for this guy right here. There really isn't anything ostensibly wrong with him. So even though there's a part of you, there's a little nudge in you that says, but daughter, not so. He's a great guy. He's just not your guy. But you feel like, okay, well, but all my friends are married. What am I going to do? And you ignore that voice in your head. Now you're living a life of perpetual, you know, discontent. And now you find yourself, you know, like I always say, the enemy has a plan for your life just as much as God does. Do not let that go over your head. The enemy has a plan for your life just as much as God does. And I feel like when we like to orchestrate our own lives, and it's like, it's what? It's the human condition, right? Where we like to do this. When we like to orchestrate our own lives and we get in our own way, right? Or because we like to orchestrate our own lives and we get in our own way, we will find ourselves in situations where we are following the plan that the enemy has in store for us, our own selfish desires, the things that we want to do, rather than what God's plan is for our lives, because it's appealing to our flesh. It's also appealing to our mind. And logically, in the moment, we can almost feel that way about anything. Man, like, well, I think this is okay because I think this is as good as it's going to get. So let me just settle here, but not so. So trusting in the Lord with our heart, it means that we have to surrender that understanding, acknowledge God and his ways in every aspect of our life. You can't be on fire here. That's why this brings me into this other scripture that says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Because a lot of the times, you know, you've been there where it's like, God, I mean, I want to do this, I want to do that. And God is saying no. And you're like, God, not that, but I'll give you this instead. How about that? And we feel like, okay, I'm making a sacrifice in another area, so I think this is okay, right? But God is saying, no, I want you to obey what it is that I said. I said to leave this guy alone. You decided to give up candy for a week. Why is it important to not lean on our own understanding, right? Because our own understanding is limited. We don't see the full picture. We cannot possibly see the full picture because hindsight is 2020. So because we know that God sees the full picture, he knows what is best for us, and he's going to guide us according to his perfect plan. Think about all the other times in your life where God has genuinely pulled through for you. He has. Think about it. I remember back when I was in college and I just was like, when on earth am I going to graduate? I felt slighted and a little jaded because I felt like once I came to the conclusion that I was being misadvised, you know, you go to your, I don't know what you call it, your advisor. And if the advisor that had advised you gave you the wrong advice, you can end up staying in college way longer than you're supposed to. See, I graduated late. Not because I was not doing what I was supposed to do, but because I was taking the full amount of credits, but the least amount of full credits, which was 12. No one told me, Aisha, taking 12 credits a semester in college, even starting exactly on time, will not guarantee you graduation for a bachelor's degree in 4 years. No one told me that. So I had to find out the harder way. And then I transferred schools at one point, and I remember thinking, when on earth am I going to graduate? Because I feel like last semester I was told I was going to graduate this semester. Now I'm being told, no, I need X amount of more credits. I also have to take certain required classes. Why is everyone telling me something different? And I remember writing down on my vision board, like, graduation without any true, and this was really like a miracle, without any true concept of whether or not that would actually happen. And it actually did. Did I end up graduating on time? No, because again, logistically for me, I simply couldn't because of the fact that I was taking the credits I was taking. It didn't meet the criteria to graduate within the correct time frame. So then I ended up transferring to a 4-credit school. But once I got there, some of the credits from my previous college didn't transfer over. So then I had to make up for that. So it was just a mess. And I thought I was doing something because I was going to a 4-credit school. And I was like, okay, now I can expedite the process. I'm definitely going to graduate on time now, girl. Anyways, I ended up graduating. And I remember that year specifically, I was like, I cannot go another year and not graduate. Like, I've hit my end now. Like, this is it. And I remember graduating that year, and I had a very difficult time. I had this very strange professor. He was very strange, okay? I took an African American studies class, and he would listen to everyone's presentation, but when it came to mine, he ended up falling asleep. Now, I didn't really care because I didn't really care whether or not he paid attention as long as I was passing, you know? I remember all the kids in class would be talking, carrying on, all these different things. He gave me a C. I remember feeling like, where are you getting these grades from? Like, I truly don't understand where you're getting these grades from. And he ended up being my advisor I reached out to him for a grade change and he decided to, he was actually on sabbatical and never answered my email. Comes back the next semester as literal my advisor. So now I have to go, or the head of my department. So I had to go through my teacher that I did not get along with in order for me to graduate. I was like, God, I need you to work a miracle because I don't think he's going to pass me. Because for whatever reason, there's like this thing where he just does not like me and I truly will never understand why. So I remember meeting with him and the first meeting I scheduled with him, he literally walked out. And I remember his assistant saying, I'm so sorry about that. He didn't tell me that he had somewhere to go. He literally just walked out and left. And I'm thinking, okay, so now I know I'm not crazy. This man literally saw that my name was on the list and literally was like, deuces, I'm leaving. So then I had to reschedule. By the time I rescheduled, I finally got a meeting with him. He was acting like his nose was like running. He was sniffing a lot. He kept like, he would sit in front of me. Then he would go, all right, and be like looking distracted at something else, getting up while I'm having a conversation with him. I'm like, what is this guy's deal? Like, is everything okay? God made it so that I ended up graduating. And I ended up graduating with honors too. Okay. So, yeah. Won't he do it? He sure will. And it's just like, I really was so grateful because I really did not think he was going to pass me. I really didn't think I was going to be able to actually go through with everything, but I did. Next, let's read Psalms 56, verse 3 through 4. And it says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Ooh, I love this. No matter what you go through, like you see, I gave you that example in the beginning of this podcast episode. No matter what it is that you go through, what can human beings really do to you? You're living according to God. This is not my permanent home. This is my temporary home for my earthly body. I'm doing kingdom work. I'm going to heaven. Hell will never see me. Okay. So I understand that concept very, very well. So to me, yes, we are going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer unjust things because at the end of the day, if our lives are mimicking, you know, Christ, then that simply means that we're going to have to suffer some persecution just like him. We're going to have to go through persecution just like he did. And it's going to come in, you know, various forms, you know, that are going, it's going to hurt. Okay. Like there's no such thing as, oh, I became a Christian and my life has just been so amazing since. Like I haven't dealt with anything. No, like you're going to go through certain things, but it says in this scripture, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. What can mere mortals do to me? People can't do anything to you. They can't break, you know, they certainly cannot break your spirit. Okay. And actually, no, people can do whatever they want to do to you, if I'm really going to be honest with you, but they can't break your spirit. They cannot break your spirit. So at the end of the day, even in Jesus' suffering, he was still honoring God, his father, because he knew he had to keep his eye on the prize. Okay. He knew, you know, this temporary suffering I'm going to go through right now, but I know I'm going to get to the other side and I'm going to be able to sit at the right hand of my father. End of story. So this puts a lot into perspective for us where it's like here in this scripture, the psalmist is expressing that we need to trust God in times of fear because you're going to feel it. It's going to happen. And trusting God helps us face our fears because we know that he's with us. We know that he's going to protect us. And this kind of trust can only come from knowing God's character and his promises. It's like what I just said to you guys before, where it's like, if you know God's character and his promises, then you know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know that he's not going to fail. He cannot fail. His ways are higher than our ways. And so I think, man, no matter what it is that I'm going through on earth, I know in the Bible, it also says that in the last days that good will be viewed as evil and evil will be viewed as good. So anytime I go through things, especially on social media, and I'm speaking in general, I'm honestly not even really speaking of that very minute incident. That's really nothing. I'm very mindful of the fact that so many eyes are on me. So many people are engaging with my content, whether they're engaging in it because they like it or whether they're engaging in it because they hate it and they want to, you know, send it to someone to make fun of. Regardless, it's filtering through the Ethernet and a lot of spirits, right? There's a lot of spirits that it's filtering through. And I'm very aware of that. And it's just like, I pray over these things too, where I'm like, God, like, protect my mind, shield my mind, my ear gates, my eye gates, you know, as I put content out on the internet, because I understand that you can experience a lot of spiritual warfare and it gets discouraging at times where you put something out, maybe you might think it's going to do good and it does the opposite, or maybe you put something out because you think it's going to mean well and people just are not receptive to it in any capacity. And it's like, God, what is going on? But as we see, it says, when I'm afraid, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. So how exactly does helping, how does trusting God help us necessarily when we are afraid? Well, it's going to shift our focus from our fears to God's faithfulness. Remember what I said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we trust God, we are reminded that He is greater than any challenge that we face. God is the ultimate authority. God is the highest authority. Everything has to submit to God's authority. Think about that. So now let's turn to Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. This verse really connects trust with peace. Oof, a word that's profound. Trust gives you peace. When you go to the restaurant and you put an order in, you're not at the edge of your seat like, is it coming yet? Is it coming yet? When is it coming? When is it coming? No, you're not thinking of that. You're thinking, I know that the order that I put out is coming, so I'm fine. I can relax. I have peace. I can conversate. I can just relax because I know that what I put out there is going to come, right? So we have to consider that when it comes to when we are putting things out there, okay? When we are going through trials and tribulations, we have to consider, God, I trust you in spite of. God, I have peace while I'm trusting you because I know your faithfulness. I know what your word says. So when we trust in God, right? He's going to grant us that perfect peace, the peace in the midst of the storm, the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's going to supply that. And our minds remain steadfast because of our trust being anchored in the unchanging nature of God. So what exactly is the connection between, like, you know, trust and peace? Well, trusting God brings peace because we know that God is in control. We have to believe that God is in control. That's faith, believing what God's word says, despite the circumstances. We can rest in his promises and in his sovereignty. Wow. There are also a couple of stories in the Bible, if we really think about it, right? Like the woman with the issue of blood. She really practiced trusting God. She said, but if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She went to multiple doctors and had all these different diagnoses, whatever the case was. And she said, but if I touch the hem of Jesus's garment, I will be healed. And she trusted that. Even when we look at Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8, right? But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, but its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. We have to be instant in and out of season, because this passage right here, it's painting a very vivid picture of the blessings that come from trusting God. A person who trusts in the Lord is compared to a tree planted by water, flourishing even despite adverse conditions. Being a tree is plant, even when a tree gets hit in, you know, by a car in a car accident, notice that the tree, it does not budge. It doesn't usually budge. Usually the car gets wrecked. If a car hits a tree, it's going to get wrecked. Being instant in season and out of season. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. God, I'm still going to trust you. Things are not looking good for me right now, but you were still faithful. Zechariah and Elizabeth in the Bible, they were trusting God, okay? This is what trust looks like when longing is unfulfilled, okay? They were longing and longing and longing for a child. Just like Abraham and Sarah, longing for a child in their old age. And you have to consider this in a time where how many children you had was reflective of God's blessing in your life. So imagine this. Back then in those days, you not having children was like a sign on your head that said, I am cursed. No one hang out with me. You know what I mean? And it was a very shameful thing back in the day. Regardless, they ended up trusting God and they were still faithful and they still believed. I'm blessed even in spite of. God, this is a desire of mine, but I still know that you're good. I still praise your name. I still give you thanks. I still give you glory. I still worship you. I still honor you. And then they ended up having John the Baptist. They birthed John the Baptist. So when we think about the characteristics of a person who trusts in the Lord, they're steadfast, they're fruitful. What do I always talk about? The fruit. You cannot fake fruit. If you're saying that you're a believer, you're saying that you know all these different things, then I need to see the fruit of that. How would it look? And guess we all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory. But how would it look if I'm saying one thing, right? You know, I preach about, or I talk about on my soapbox here, you know, living a certain way that is in alignment with the Bible to the best of your ability. But then you see me acting completely different. And I'm not talking about old videos. I'm talking about currently. You see that my life is not reflective and it's not producing fruits of showing that I believe in God and I believe in what his word says. You see me cursing someone out every 5 seconds. You see me, twerking on my head top. You see me busting it wide open, okay, for carnival, all right? You see me, you know, breaking it down without a frown. No, that doesn't make sense. That's not the fruit of what it is that I'm believing in. Even when it comes to adversity on the internet, I have very good self-control when it comes, like I said, to responding back to people. You just will not get a response out of me. It really just doesn't matter. You will not get a response out of me. And that's what people want. Like, they want to know your reactions to things. These are people that are not happy. And I ain't gonna engage with that. That does not make any sense. I digress. We have to stay fruitful and resilient, even through the tough times. Resilience is the name of the game, baby. Trusting in God is going to sustain and nourish us because his word never changes. Now, lastly, let's read Matthew 6:25-34. I'm not going to be before you long today, guys. I'm really not. I'm just here to, you know, drop the message and go on, you know, real short and sweet today. And it reads, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? So, in this scripture, Jesus is addressing worry and trust in this passage. He's encouraging us to look at how God cares for his creation, and he reassures us of our greater value to him. That's really the truth. By trusting in God, we can let go of our anxieties about our daily needs. And I know this seems very odd, where it's like, you know, even in the example I gave, like, God, how am I going to graduate? Like, I have anxiety because I want to be done. I don't want to do this anymore. But like, you have to remember, like, miracles happen. The supernatural is very real. The spiritual realm is very real. God can make anything happen according to his own timeline because he doesn't operate within the parameters of time. So why is it that Jesus is telling us not to worry about our lives? Like, God, what do you mean don't worry about my life? Like, what? Well, it's because, let's be honest here, worrying does not add any value to our lives. Trusting God with our needs is going to help us focus. on his kingdom, on his righteousness, knowing that he is going to provide for us. These are really fundamental principles because, again, there are so many different people in the Bible that have had to trust God. This is why reading the word is so important, because it shows you you're not alone. There truly is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Persecution, it's in the Bible. The Sodom and Gomorrah time, sexual immorality, it's in the Bible. The only thing I think maybe new is just technology, really, to be honest, because it simply did not exist in any form back then. But I'm sure even for that time, they had their own advancements. So how can we actually apply these truths to our lives? Well, one, daily reflection, taking time to get in your word. I'm telling you, getting in your word and meditating on it, reflecting on how it actually applies to your current situation. You cannot really have the best intimacy with the Lord without knowing what his word is saying. It's going to ground you without you even really trying. It's going to ground you. It's going to put a lot into perspective. It's going to give you revelation. Also through prayer, okay? Developing a habit of praying, turning your worries and your fears over to God in prayer. Ask him to help you trust him more deeply and have honest conversations with God. God, I'm really struggling right now. No one says you have to say, for thou sayest, I am coming to you right now, Lord, and I'm hoping that you can maketh a way out of no way. Like, no one says that. You literally just have to have a conversation with him. There's a time and a place for everything. Journaling, even for those of you that like to write, keep instances of where have I seen God's faithfulness in my life? And then even revisit them when you're struggling to trust. Next is accountability, sharing your journey of trusting God with a friend. I'm telling you, there is power in community when it comes to trusting God. I can't tell you the amount of times where I may have been discouraged about something, and having a praying friend is so amazing for them to encourage you through the word of God. There's nothing like it. And lastly is scripture memorization. I've actually come to learn that this is very, very powerful. Now, I read Pastor Kevin Ewing's book, Prayers That Work. And after a while, I'm beginning right now to memorize certain scriptures because of how he writes his prayer points. I know that he'll say, like, you know, you saying your word in Philippians 4, verse 13, that I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Like, you start to memorize these verses and speaking the word, which I'm going to do a podcast episode on, speaking the word only, speaking the scripture over your life, over your circumstance, because the enemy knows the Bible very well. So it's important that we know his word well, you know, too, because he comes as an angel of light and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is why he came to Jesus even, and he likes to masquerade and pervert and create counterfeits and essentially make a mockery out of God in our lives. So in conclusion, angels, trusting God is a continuous journey that involves us surrendering our fears, our doubts, and our control to him. But when we meditate on scripture and we are praying and supporting one another, we can grow our trust and our experience and experience the peace and confidence that comes from relying on God. So with that being said, angels, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really hope that you guys have enjoyed this simple, short, sweet, to the point. Make sure that you are subscribed to Hot and Holy on YouTube. And also make sure that you check out my website for any resources, as well as booking a coaching session with me, doing a one-on-one session with me so that I can get to help you with your needs interpersonally. I love connecting with you guys. And yeah, with that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.